Excuse me. Lillian. Your name Frank?
Yeah.
Rajesh Patel? I know you don't know me. But your husband told me you'd be here. Well, come over here. I'll tell you how I know you. Right, have a seat. Your girlfriend told me you'd be here. You know what? If you will just hold your arms out like this, please. Like you're flying. Does that feel good?
Define good.
So, oh, look, you've done one of these before. You know how to hook it up, don't you? This is going to tell if you are being deceptive or not.
Are you a doctor?
No. Beautiful ring.
Thank you.
He loves you so much, doesn't he?
Yeah.
We're going to find out if you love him. Okay, Frank, do you consider yourself to be an honest person?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely.
Is that a yes?
Yes.
Are you in a relationship?
Yes.
Are you happy in that relationship?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be?
Just yes or no?
Yeah.
Does Kelly weigh more now than she did when you first met?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. She is at an ideal place.
Do you text and drive?
No.
Only if it's an emergency.
Do you sing and drive?
Did she tell you to ask that question?
Do you ignore your girlfriend's calls?
Only if it's an emergency.
Do you avoid getting your girlfriend and your mother together?
Only if it's an emergency.
Did you really have a headache last night?
Honestly?
Have you ever eaten ice cream right out of the carton?
That's more efficient that way, obviously.
Yes, who hasn't? I'm a human.
Your girlfriend and your mother were trapped in a burning building and you could only drag one to safety. Who would you say?
My girlfriend. Both of them. There's no fire.
Your mother or Kelly, who would you save?
My mom's lived like a long life. Mm-hmm. She's old.
She birthed you.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Oh my goodness, is that not so funny? Wow, that is so good. Well, hey, to everyone at all of our churches, I want to say hello to you. If you're in Atlanta, outside of the Atlanta area, if you're watching us online today, we're so glad you're with us. My name's Clay. I'm one of the pastors here on our staff, and I am so excited about kicking off this brand new series. Just a little bit about me. I'm married to Jenny. And she's amazing, and we've been married for this year. We'll celebrate our 10th anniversary. We've got 4 kids, so spring is birthday season for us. So I don't know if you're clapping for the 4 kids or for the 10 years. Either way, she deserves all the clapping, so in both cases. But we have a 7-year-old, 5-year-old, 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old. So we've been partying hard at our house this spring because we've had a lot of birthdays. But I am really excited about kicking off this series, and I hope it will be a lot of fun. And just to get things started, I want to put this up on the board here, and I want you to just respond to it. Just let me know how you feel emotionally as you see this right here. Is this thing plugged in? Is that me? Did I do that or did it? No, we're not getting any power on it. But anyway, I don't know if you can see that or not. Maybe they can fix that in the back. But either way, I don't know if you can see this. I guess you can see it a little bit. How does that feel? There it is. Wow. All right. Fantastic. Is anyone excited by this? Anyone you're just like, oh, you got me the rest of the service. I can't wait. For those of you Georgia Tech fans, I know this is like your love language, so I can say that because I am one. I know for some of you, this brings out a lot of emotion. For some of you, maybe you just immediately feel overwhelmed, you feel anxious. For some of you, you just immediately feel like less than a person now. Just all those feelings and emotions flood back. You feel guilty or defeated. In math, we call this solving for X, right? Anybody remember having to do that in maybe algebra or algebra 2? I don't know when it was for you. I'm just going to save you some time for those of you that you really will spend the rest of our time together trying to figure this out. Massive spoiler alert here, but X equals 3 in this case. So what I've found, though, in life is that there really are kind of 2 different people, and these two equations really represent that. There are X equals 3 people. You know that guy, that girl who's just an X equals 3 kind of person? I mean, she just walks around life and it just feels simpler to her. It just feels simpler to him. It just is less complicated. And it's not because less has happened. No, see, I think all of us have had varying degrees of stuff happen to us, but what happens when you actually do what this assignment says, when you actually do solve for X, there is a simplicity that comes, because we all know people that look more like this longer equation. They walk around life and you can just tell that they're preoccupied by something. There's something unsettled about them. There are things in their life that they have failed to resolve, and therefore they have wrestled with things and are wrestling with things. Because what's true is this right here, that unresolved emotion equals unrest. Unresolved emotion equals unrest. If you have emotions in your life that are unresolved, it will lead to a lack of peace. And I would imagine you know someone who fits into this category. And there are many things that have happened in all of our lives that maybe we have failed to resolve. We never really processed. We never really wrestled through them. We just moved right past them. Like maybe for you, this first little X squared is maybe it's representative of a death. Maybe there was a death in your family. Maybe it was a death of a loved one. Maybe it was a death of someone in the news that you just could tell it landed in you differently, and you never were really honest about it. You never really processed it with anyone. Maybe for you, one of these represents that close call in your life. Maybe it was something that happened in traffic where you couldn't believe you were spared, or you couldn't believe you made it through. Or maybe it was something that happened hanging out with friends back in the day and you couldn't believe that it worked out the way it did. And you just think, whew, man, that was a close call, but you never really stopped to process it. Maybe for you, 8X here represents a job. Maybe the job just isn't going how you thought it would go. Maybe you're at a dead end. Maybe you just feel like things continue to happen that you can't account for, and it just feels like missed opportunity after missed opportunity, and it feels like others are getting ahead, and you can't really figure out why, but you just feel out of control with it. Maybe for you, one of these represents a want that you have or a desire. And you know it's there, but you've never really processed why it's there. You've never been honest about why it's there. And so maybe you have car envy, or maybe you have neighborhood envy, or maybe you have kid envy, and you just think their kids are just way better looking than your kids. Maybe you have teeth envy, where you just think, wow, she has the prettiest smile. I wish I had that smile. I don't know what it is for you. Maybe one of these are plans. They represent plans that you have for the future. And you've just never really processed them. You've never really been honest about them. Maybe one of these represents loss. And it was maybe something that was taken from you, something that you feel like should have been yours, and you just never really dealt with it. Unresolved emotion equals unrest. If you fail to solve for X, you will have unrest in your life. And in this case, for this series, I want to submit to you that X may just equal honesty. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know, could it really be that simple? I think it really can, because I think there's something powerful about being honest about what actually happened. And if you notice that most people in life, most people are mostly honest, right? I mean, we're mostly honest with the IRS. Maybe you met with a counselor for a while and you were mostly honest with that counselor. Maybe you're in a dating relationship right now and you've been mostly honest about the dating relationship. Most people are mostly honest. In fact, there's research to prove that at best, we are 90% honest with ourselves. Now, I found that on Wikipedia, to be honest, honest to God. So I don't know how true that actually is, but I think it's true that we're very rarely fully honest with ourselves. And that's not all bad. Some of it is for self-protection. Some of it is to keep ourselves from having to measure up to the judgments of others. But honesty is more than just avoiding deception. Honesty really is full disclosure. And where this unfortunately shows up the most is in our relationships. See, your best relationships are probably your most honest relationships. I think we can all say that at least our most healthy relationships are our most honest relationships. The relationships that you have that are characterized by full honesty and full transparency, it's probably your healthiest relationship. Now, you've heard us say this before, I would imagine, if you go to one of our churches or if you've at least been to one of our churches before. We say that our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus. And that word relationship is very strategic. We don't use the word religion. No, we're really after a relationship. And so if honesty really is the X factor, if it really is the key in relationships, and if we have trouble being honest with ourselves and sometimes have trouble being honest in relationships, how honest are you to God? I mean, how genuine, how transparent, how much disclosure have you given to God? See, if you're not a church person, if you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe for you, when you think about being honest to God, you think about some kind of conversation with God. And I maybe for you that feels intimidating, but I think we would all say, well, it's pretty important. Well, thinking about a conversation with God, maybe if you've only heard religious people in your life have conversations, what have they sounded like? Well, maybe their conversations with God have been so well articulated and well thought through and ritualistic and scripted and formulaic and, oh, I've got to get this right, and kind of stuffy kind of oration. If that's all you've been exposed to, then yeah, the thought of actually being gut level honest with God might seem foreign to you. I don't know who the boss is in your world, if you have a CEO at your company, or maybe at your school it's the principal or the head of your hospital, or wherever you are that you have a boss. For me, my boss, his name is Andy Stanley. He's the senior pastor of all of our churches. And when I have to email Andy, I will spend sometimes an hour on an email that I've got to write to Andy. Have you ever had an email like this that you had to write to somebody that held your job in the palm of their hand, you know, with so much trust and wonderful responsibility, but yet still holds it? So I'll write it all out, you know, it'll be page, and I'll look at it, oh, it's too long, and I'll simplify it, and I'll reorder stuff, and I'm like wrestling over word choice, and I'll send it off to a couple advisors to get some feedback on it. I'll send it to our copy edit team to make sure that it's a correct grammar and everything makes sense, that there's no squiggly lines, that Microsoft Word is underlined. I go through all of that process. And I would imagine that you've experienced that as well. And for some people, that's the way they think about God. They think that if they're going to have a conversation with God, surely he can't take honesty. He wants something stuffy and well-articulated and thought through. And in this series, I hope that you at least get to the point where you go, you know what, that couldn't be further from the truth. The truth is, God doesn't want perfect conversation. He wants honest conversation. And let me tell you why I think this matters for every single one of us, whether you consider yourself a church person or not, is because until we're fully honest to God, we will not experience God fully. Until we're fully honest with God, we just won't experience God fully. Until we're honest to God about who we are and how we feel, we won't even begin to grasp who he is and how he feels. This blows my mind about the way it seems that God operates, but the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament is a God who somehow, some way reciprocates our movement towards him. When we disclose ourselves, he reveals himself. When we move towards him, it initiates his move towards us. He's already moved fully towards us in the form of his son, Jesus. But now that we have this potential relationship with him, so many different places in the Bible talk about this kind of reciprocating nature of God. In Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah said, "When you seek me, then you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." Zechariah said, when you return to the Lord, then he will return to you. Jesus himself said, seek first his kingdom and all of these things will be added to you. The brother of Jesus, James himself, said, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. So there's something about us bringing our full selves allows us to fully experience God. As long as you bring half of who you are, I think you'll experience half of who God is. But if you'll bring all of you, I think you and I can access, can begin to grasp, can experience all of him. We talk a lot about faith. Faith is very, very important. Faith in God, it's the key to knowing God. But faith in God is very different than a relationship with God. I hope you have faith in God, but I desperately want myself and I desperately want you to have a relationship with God, not just a faith in God. Do I want you to believe in God or I want you to experience believing in God? For sure. But even more than that, at a deeper level, I don't just want you to be a person who's believing in God, but I want you to be someone who knows God, who understands knowing him. Here's why today, here's why this series, I think, is so important. See, as human beings, this blows my mind, this is amazing to me, but if we were to add up all the different views we have on God at all of our churches or wherever you're watching today online, whatever you walked in with today, you can walk out with a totally different view of a relationship with God. Sitting right where you are, you can make a decision today that will literally change all of your life if you would choose to bring all of yourself to him. You walked in one way, and I'm just telling you, you can walk out a totally different person, not because your circumstances are changed, because you're looking at a relationship with God differently than you've ever looked at it before. That potential is here if you and I would choose to be honest to God. Maybe you're sitting there thinking, well, has anyone ever tried this? Has anyone ever been fully honest with God? I mean, is God okay with this? Are we sure? Does this have the heavenly stamp of approval? His God says, yeah, this is good. He actually has. I'm glad you asked. There's a man that's a king. He's one of the most famous kings in the history of Israel. One of the most famous characters in the Bible. His name is, drumroll, David. You know what David was known as? David killed Goliath. David was followed Saul as the king of Israel. He reigned for a number of years and was an extremely successful king. He wasn't known for all of his riches, for his military prowess. No, he had this little tagline that God himself put on David. Said that David was a man after God's own heart. That's what God called David. When God was anointing David the king, he says, I finally found someone who is a man after my own heart. And there is a collection of prayers, a collection of songs that we have from David. He wrote the majority of them. We call them Psalms. And as you read through, as you just take a 30,000 foot view of Psalms, we get this little picture into his journal. We get this little picture into what he actually wrote, what he actually prayed, kind of the behind the scenes tour of his relationship with God. You want anybody to read your journal? No, me either. I came home from work one day and my wife was, we were in the process of moving and she had found this box that had a couple journals of mine from college and I was like, oh no, 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 no. We are married and we are in a fantastic relationship, but I am not comfortable you alone by yourself without my aid reading thoughts that I had as a 20-year-old, all right? I struggle enough to share with you my thoughts now, all right? Let alone when I was 20. But we have access to David's journals, and David's journals, I think, remove all obstacles, so many obstacles that we have in the way we approach God. Maybe you've never realized that God was approachable. David seemed to think that God was fully approachable. Maybe you never realized that having to deal with the stuff in your life because you've been honest to God is actually worth it. Maybe you've never realized that spending the time that's needed to spend was worth every second. As we read the Psalms, we realize, oh wow, God is not just okay with our honesty. God seemed to celebrate it because he called him a man after his own heart. So what I want to do is I want to just give you just a quick survey of some of the emotions that we see David unpacking before God. Here's the first one, afraid. David was afraid, and he just told God about it. Regularly, in Psalm 7, he said this. He said, Lord my God, I take refuge in you. Save and deliver me from all who pursue me, or they will tear me apart like a lion and rip me to pieces with no one to rescue me. This is the prayer that Leonardo DiCaprio prays now after The Revenant. Instead of the lion, though, it was a bear in his case. But have you ever felt afraid? You ever just told God this honestly? God, I'm serious. Like, no one's literally pursuing me, but it feels like if this doesn't happen, I'm going to be ripped apart like a lion. That's pretty honest, pretty graphic. What about when you're grateful? It's a positive emotion. Let's talk about some positive things for a while, right? When he was grateful, this is one thing he said. This is in Psalm 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Have you ever waited for God? You might be waiting for him right now. When you wait for God and then he comes through, oh my goodness, is there anything better? He said, he turned to me and he heard my cry and he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. And he didn't just lift me out, but he set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. For some of you, this is your relationship with God. You would say, yes, I was in an awful place and God lifted me up out of it. And now I'm standing on such a more firm place. Have you told God lately? You can. What about when you're powerless? This is what David prayed when he felt powerless. He said, I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Have you ever felt like God was ignoring you, forgetting you? Was he silent to you? David did. And so he just told God, God, it feels like you're forgetting me. I get it. There's 7 billion people in the world today. You got a lot you're controlling, but it feels like you're forgetting me. Why have you forgotten me, God? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? And then he said, there's literally physical pain that comes with this. My bones suffer, mortal agony. As my foes, they taunt me. They say to me all day long, where's your God? Have you ever had anybody that just looked at you like your faith was crazy? They're like, what? You believe what? Oh, good luck with that. You just feel powerless. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless. Have you told God? You can. What about when you're jealous? If I were to ask you, say, hey, are you jealous about anything? I'm sure you'd be like, I'm not jealous. Who's jealous? I mean, I haven't been jealous since middle school, right? Wrong. David was jealous. This is actually a psalm that Asaph wrote, who was his worship leader. Some think he was a scribe for David, definitely influenced by David. And this is what he said, surely God is good to Israel. I love the surely. I think the surely is like a surely that's full of questioning. If your name is Shirley, that doesn't mean you are. I'm just saying in this case, surely God is good. I mean, that's what everyone said, but it doesn't feel like he's good. Doesn't feel like he's good right now. Surely he's good to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet, they almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold because I envied the arrogant. And when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, it made me jealous. They have no struggles. Their bodies are healthy and strong. Whether they use Botox or not, that's beside the point, okay? Their bodies are healthy and strong. They're free from common human burdens. They're not plagued by human ills. You can just feel he's eaten up with jealousy and he's just telling God. Is God okay with that? I don't know. But it seems like he is. He called him a man after his own heart. What about when he was just excited? Countless times when he was excited, he would say this. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. When's the last time you were in your car and you just shouted for joy, all right? That's the key. When's the last time you said, God, this is awesome. I can't believe it. I am first place in my March Madness pool. You're amazing. You're greatly to be praised. I think you can say that to God. Shout for joy, all the earth. Sing to the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great, not just great, so great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing the praises of your name. And then he says this, come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for all mankind. Have you ever felt that excited about something and you just thought, I gotta tell God this? He wants to know. And you can just tell him. Last one, what about when you're angry? Anybody angry in here? Any one of our churches? Never? No angry people? So you're lying and you're angry? Wow. It's good to know. See, when we're angry, I feel like we think, like, I can't tell God that I'm angry. God, like, he's not down with anger, right? I mean, that's not like a good thing in God's world, in his economy. David did. I mean, I just read this. I want you to think about how heavy and honest this is. This is in Psalm 58. Break the teeth in their mouths. Have you ever had a tooth break? Is there anything more painful? Stepping on a Lego early in the morning, barefooted. Maybe that. But aside from that, is there anything more painful than a tooth that breaks? And David doesn't just pray for one to break. He says, God, the whole mouth, all the teeth, break them. Tear out the fangs of those lions. Let them vanish like water that flows away when they draw the bow. God, I hope their arrows fall short. I don't know what he meant by that, but seems serious. May they be like, listen to this. May they be like a slug that melts away as it moves along, like a stillborn child that never sees the sun. I honestly hesitated to even put this up because I thought that is so inappropriate. Especially for anyone who's ever been around someone who has had a stillborn child who did not see the sun. I've stood at funerals with people who have, and I don't know if there is much more painful in life than that. And David says, God, I want that for my enemies. And somehow, some way, God allowed this to stay around for thousands of years in his precious Bible that he has somehow passed down from generation to generation. And he doesn't say, when you pray, pray this. But he celebrates the man who prayed this way. And so if God was okay with this kind of anger, I think he's probably okay with your kind of anger as well. Because he's a father. And any good father just wants to know, how do you feel? Just tell me. I don't want perfect. I want honest. So what about our board over here? I mean, maybe one of these, maybe all of these connects with you, but maybe that death has been rattling around in your head and your heart for a long time and it's made you feel afraid. Maybe you just need to tell God. Maybe that close call, maybe you can't believe it, but it worked out. And maybe you feel grateful and you've never told God that. Or maybe you haven't told him in a while. Just tell him. He wants to know. Not because he doesn't know, but just because he wants to know what you feel, what's on your heart. What about that job? Maybe that job is making you feel powerless. I'll give it a hyphen because that's one word. Maybe you just feel out of control. You feel like you can't figure it out. It makes no sense. You don't know where it's going to go next. The reorganization, the restructure, it just keeps happening and it just feels like it's slipping away. Maybe you just need to tell God. I'm not saying it's going to fix it. I'm just saying he wants to know. Maybe that want that you have has created some kind of jealousy in you and you've never dealt with it. You've never said it out loud. You've never told God. God, you want me to be honest? All right. Well, I want his life. I want her life. That's what I'm mad about. I'm jealous. Maybe the plans that you have, maybe you're excited about them. Maybe it includes a Disney cruise. Maybe it includes a date with someone. I don't know what it is, but would you just tell him? Because maybe your plans make you excited and he just wants to know. Maybe that loss that you have, maybe it was a relationship, maybe it was some kind of business situation, maybe it was something that someone stole from you that they shouldn't have. And it made you angry, and you've talked yourself out of it for years because you thought, no, I shouldn't be angry, and so I'm just not gonna tell God about it. But truth is, honest to God, you're just angry. The great thing about being honest to God is that it forces you to be honest to yourself. Being honest to God forces you, requires you, makes you deal with it yourself. But it also brings clarity of perspective. Being honest to God allows you to see it somehow like he sees it. When you bring 10% of yourself, you'll see it about 10% of the way he sees it. But when you bring all of you, you'll start to see all of it the way he sees it. Let me just give you an example of that. Some of you, for this entire time we've been together, you've been struggling because you've been working this out. And you're like, X equals 3. Wait a second. It doesn't just equal 3. Now, see, what's amazing about this is that X also equals 2. It works both ways, with 3 or with 2. And when you begin to take everything to God, be honest with him, you start to see it differently. It takes on a different meaning than it once had before. But that won't happen if you continue to just bring part of you. Being honest with God also gives you a clean conscience. There is a freedom that comes when you're not carrying it anymore. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't make it okay. It doesn't fix it. But it just means I have dealt with it. I've processed it. I've mourned it. I've grieved it. I've done everything I know to do. I've been honest to you about it. And then finally, and maybe the best of all, being honest to God allows you to have a closer relationship with God. You know what the point of honesty is? The point of honesty is not honesty. The point of honesty is a better, deeper, more intimate relationship. If you're honest to God, you can have a relationship with God. But you can't have a relationship with God until you're honest to God. So maybe that's where you begin. You just begin with whatever time you can find. Maybe it's in the car, maybe it's on MARTA, maybe it's at work. Maybe it's some downtime in the morning or at night. I don't know how to figure it out for you, but I bet you will. And if you want to have a relationship with God so that you can access all of who he is, so that you can experience all of who he is, it begins with you being honest to him. Our oldest child started kindergarten last year. And adjusting to school was a challenge because, for a 5-year-old, that's a long day. And so those first couple of months, she would come home and she was just super emotional about everything. And everything was a struggle, honestly. I mean, dinner time was a struggle. Bedtime was just a nightmare. And so one night, she's just crying. And it's not like a sad cry. It's like a mad cry, you know? You ever had one of those? Those are good. And I was trying to get her to turn the lamp out. I mean, we're talking simple stuff here, all right? And it was just complicated. It was like x squared plus 3x minus 8x equals 8x minus 8x minus 6 kind of stuff. I mean, it was like, wow, what is going on here? And she just looks at me and she goes, "You don't even get me." She's 5. I just responded to her. I'm like, "You're right. And you know how I know that? Because your mom has been telling me the same thing for years." Honestly, though, what I told her was, "I don't, but I want to. I want to so bad. Just tell me. What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? What's going on? I'm a broken, flawed, messed up father. How much more does our Father in heaven just look at us and go, just tell me. I just want to know. In his case, he already knows. But he just wants you to tell him. What are you thinking? What are you feeling? So to end today, I just want to do a little emotional inventory. I just want to ask some questions to you. We'll begin with this one, real softball, easy one. What have you been celebrating lately that you haven't told God about? It could be great. What have you been celebrating? What's made you smile lately that you haven't told him about? What about this? Who has taken something from you? Maybe what has taken something from you? Are you angry about it? Are you upset about it? What about this? Who has something that you want? Just tell God. God, I want that. He wants to know. Some of you are like, well, doesn't he already know? Yeah, yes, he does. But he just wants you to tell him. Why? I don't know why. But it's the way relationships work. Have you ever noticed that? You bring part of you, you get a decent relationship. You bring all of you, you get an intimate, full-on, real-deal relationship. And the same is true of God. So if someone has something that you want, don't just go take it. Just start by telling God. Has someone disappointed you lately? Has something disappointed you lately? Just tell him. Have you lost something or someone that you have not fully mourned? He wants to know. I'm just telling you, everything could change today for you. If you would choose to believe that if you're fully honest with him, you will fully experience him. Honest to God. That's the way he works. Let's pray. God, I don't know why you allowed us, God, for years and years and years, thousands of years, to be able to hold on to what David wrote. But God, I just want to tell you, at least for me, I'm grateful for that. God, he sees you in a way that I don't even know that I see you all the time. God, he experienced you in a way that I know that I don't experience you all the time. This is not something that I've got under my belt, God. This is something that I want. So God, for the person here that's just thinking, nope, I got my objections, there's no way. God, I just pray that they would just try. That they would try you. That they would just see what would happen if they just decided, okay, I'm just going to start being honest to you. God, I'm just so grateful that you are not scared of our emotions. You're not mad about our emotions. God, in some cases, you want to heal our emotions, but God, you want honest conversation with us. Not perfect conversation, but honest conversation. God, thank you for that. I don't know why that is, God. Who are we that you would be mindful of us? God, thank you for Jesus, for what he paid to allow us to approach you with boldness and confidence. And we pray all of this in his name. Amen.